Galatians chapter number 3. Paul talking to the Galatians, wanting to help them to be sound doctrinally and not get off course doctrinally, to understand what salvation is. And in Galatians chapter number 3, verse 1, the Word of God says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, as we look at the Bible, we understand that there are a lot of things in the Bible that are mentioned over and over and over again, but the Bible doesn't mention foolishness a lot, but it does mention it. It's very obvious what it's talking about. The Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's a serious situation. And the Bible says, answer not a fool according to his folly. And then you get into another place and it says, answer a fool according to his folly, which means there's a time to let a fool be a fool and just keep on going, and there's a time to answer that fool. But here he's talking about the first thing I want to look at is the foolish, and it's the foolish Galatians. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye shall not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? Now, he's calling them foolish, and he used the words, the terminology, who has bewitched you? That's pretty serious. I mean, that's a spiritual confusion. That's a spiritual attack that they're under. Who has bewitched you? Who hath tricked you? It's more than just a simple trick. It's a spiritual attack, and he's telling them that you should not obey the truth because they were having some problems. And the problem is the truth about salvation in the church age, and the way the Galatians were saved here is by trusting the blood atonement, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they were getting confused and mixing the law back in. And you know what would happen if we had a church service every week and we talked about the blood of Jesus Christ and we talked about salvation once in a while and we talked about the law and we talked about everything but rightly dividing and we didn't talk about the truth about what the purpose of the law is, that after a while you would begin to think, possibly, that you yourself has something to do with your own salvation and keeping your salvation. You know, first of all, we can't do anything to obtain it but trust Jesus Christ. And we can't do anything to maintain it but trust Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we should maintain good works and do that because we love Jesus Christ. But it's not that we're under the law and we're going to lose our salvation. It's the difference of eternal salvation and eternal rewards. And rewards are, they hinge upon your works and your faithfulness and obedient to the Word of God. But here the foolish Galatians were trying to mix works back in with salvation. And when you do that, it can become discouraging quite quickly. Because you realize that our works are messed up. We have a problem with works, even our best works. All of our righteousnesses are filthy rags. There's none righteous, no, not one. And every time you and I do a work, guess what? We're involved in it. Amen. And the foolish Galatians, that brings us to verse number 3. It says, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? So you got saved by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. You began in the Spirit. You began realizing it was all the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now you say you're going to trust the flesh? So we see the foolishness of the Galatians, and we see the fleshliness of the Galatians. You know what the flesh wants to do? The flesh wants to rise up, which is the reason we have a Bible, amen, to tame the flesh and get the flesh under subjection to the Word of God and the power of God. And the flesh wants to rise up and say, look at me, look at me. And there are a lot of people out there today that say, well, you believe that you get saved by trusting Christ and it doesn't really matter about your works. I don't believe that at all. I believe you're saved by trusting Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, but I believe your works are important because they glorify Jesus Christ. I believe that's why people would look at you and say, there's something about this person. What do they have that I don't have? And the answer is Jesus Christ. Amen? The second answer to that would be good Bible doctrine to understand it's not us. Because the flesh wants to rise up and say, look at me. I read something a guy had written the other day, and he was talking about, you know, somebody said something about one of the presidential candidates and said they needed to repent. Well, what about the other side need to repent, he said. And he said, well, first of all, nobody's without sin. And he started listing Old Testament saints, David, and on down the line, and talking about people, Moses being a murderer and all this stuff, which all is all true. But see, they didn't have their doctrine right, and they didn't understand. So in their mind, they were saying what the preacher was probably saying, and I don't know, but I assume if he was a preacher of truth, he was saying that this presidential candidate needs to truly repent and actually become saved before he claims to be a Christian. I don't disagree with that at all. If that's the truth, and they've never repented, and they've never called on Christ, trusted Christ, then they're not saved. But what the person that didn't understand the Bible said, and maybe the preacher was off on some things too, I don't know, but what the person that had no idea, he was religious, but he didn't understand what a relationship with Jesus Christ was, obviously, he was trying to say, well, you can't say that about one side and not the other, and if a person's good enough, like David, he was good enough, and they went down that road of being good enough, and the truth is the only person that could ever be good enough was Jesus Christ. And we talked about that. You have to see the Bible and rightly divide the Bible. But what the devil will do is he will use this popular person's platform to confuse people, to keep on believing that their works have something to do with salvation. And there were a lot of folks in the comments commenting about they went to church and they did good works and they were trying to get in and they were hoping and there was a lot of the devil using people to reinforce the idea of working for your salvation, which is not biblical, by the way. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then to reinforce the idea that the devil wants you to believe nobody can know. These things are written to believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. We can know that. But see, when you don't have Bible, and you don't understand Bible, and you don't write the divine Bible, you can not only get confused about salvation, and you can confuse yourself all the way to hell, but you could also be used of the devil to confuse other people about salvation. And there were one or two comments that hinted at trust in Jesus Christ, but there were a lot of comments talking about man's works, because the flesh wants to think, and the flesh wants to get some honor and glory, instead of look, the flesh is judged dead at Calvary, and we need to point to Jesus Christ. I can't save you. I couldn't save myself. The Pope can't save you. He can't save himself. Mother Teresa couldn't save you. She couldn't save herself. Your grandmother couldn't save you. She couldn't save herself. Mary couldn't save you. She couldn't save herself. No man and no woman could save themselves. But there's one man, the man Christ Jesus, that not only could, but was willing to save you and I. And he's the only one that can do it. So the foolish Galatians were trying to add works back into it so they could say, look at me, look at me. And the flesh was going along with it because the flesh wants to get some honor and glory out of this thing. And then we see in verse 4, it says, have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministered you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he yet by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now we see the faith. true faith. He said, you're seeing these miracles, you got saved, and you're seeing these the power of God because of your works or because of your faith in Jesus Christ. And if anything is going to happen for somebody's salvation, it's because they put faith in Jesus Christ. And if anything's going to go right after salvation, and we're going to do anything for the glory of God to raise him up, lift him up, it's going to be by putting faith in him and faith in the Word of God and trusting and being obedient to the Word of God. And then we see in verse number 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. Abraham had faith. You know what he did? He trusted God. Abraham was told to get away from your family and leave this land that you've been born into and walk out, go out by faith and trust God where he's going to lead you. And you know what Abraham did? By faith, he left and followed God. It doesn't say that Abraham repented, trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and got saved. It said he obeyed the Word of God by faith, and his instruction from the Word of God to step out in faith was to leave the land of the Ur of Chaldees. That was his obedience. And God, you know what God did? He accepted his leaving. He took and looked at that faith and said, that pleases me. That man is willing to leave everything and walk with me. So Abraham wasn't asked to call on Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection for salvation. He was asked to leave that land, and God was so pleased with Abraham being willing to do that. And believe me, it probably wasn't an easy thing for Abraham to do. It was a sacrifice. And that's what pleased God. He was willing to sacrifice and follow the Lord's guidance and the Lord's word. And it pleased God so much that he looked down the road and said, I'm going to take anybody that trusts my word, Jesus Christ, in the flesh, and I'm going to impute that faith to him, that righteousness, just like I did Abraham. So Abraham is the one that God first looked at and seen faithful and said, that man right there pleased me. That man is the one I'm going to use as a picture and type of what's going to come when my son walks the face of this earth to save humanity, to offer salvation to all mankind. The father Abraham. And then we see in 8 and 9, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. That word gospel means good news. You know what he told Abraham? He didn't tell Abraham, hey, my son's death, burial, and resurrection is what you're trusting in. He said, there's good news. In you, all nations will be blessed. And when he said all nations, he was talking about the Gentiles too. And that's why we know that, because it says the heathen shall be justified through faith. So through faith in Jesus Christ, today the Gentiles are saved because of the example set by Abraham by stepping out in faith. So how are you getting to heaven? I'm just trusting Jesus Christ. What if you get there and they say, God says, why should I let you in? Because I've trusted Jesus Christ. Now, if you get to heaven, and let's hypothetically say you could get to heaven, and God would say, why would I let you in? And you said, well, because I belong to this church, because I was baptized, because I had an active rosary commitment, because I believe this about Mother Mary, I believe this about the preacher, I believe this about the Pope, I believe this about that, I believe Jesus was God, the Son of God on earth, I believe he died, he was buried and rose again, I believe that. And the Lord would say, yeah, but what'd you do about it? Amen. The answer is not, well, I did this or I believe that. The answer is I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. The blood is on my account. God's blood is on my account. I believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. And I trusted him and him alone for salvation. So the scripture foreseeing, isn't that something? The scripture was able to foresee. Because the scripture is God's word. The word of God is God. Jesus Christ is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Scripture, being all-knowing from the past to the future, knowing everything He wants to know and being having foreknowledge, knew that Jesus Christ was going to have to come and die for this world. And because Abraham put faith in the Word of God and obeyed God, the Scripture foreseeing knew that if people would just trust Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, that they could walk with God later on by putting their faith in the Word of God, like Abraham put his faith in the Word of God. And verse number 10, for as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man who doeth them shall live in them. Now we see the failure of man. Man can't keep the law. And you got people out there saying, well, I'm going to keep the Ten Commandments. They can't name the Ten Commandments. If they named the Ten Commandments, they'd realize they had broken at least a few of the Ten Commandments. Amen. But man could not, the failure of man is man can't keep the law. How prideful and carnal is it to think that you could keep the law and earn your way to heaven when Adam had one rule and couldn't keep it? Adam was in a perfect place that was a clean and holy place, had one rule, and broke it. And we think, mankind today thinks that they're going to keep a whole bunch of rules and please God. The law wasn't given to save people. The law was given to point people to Jesus Christ so they would accept Him and His salvation. The law is a schoolmaster pointing us to Jesus Christ. You know what the law teaches us? We're guilty. You know what Jesus Christ teaches us? God's not guilty. He's holy. The law shows us the holiness of God, the sinfulness of man, and it points us to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The failure of man is under the law. And the failure of man today is thinking we can keep the law, or maybe earn the law, or maybe keep enough of the law. Well, you know, I broke all nine of the other ones, but I haven't murdered anybody. Or I broke this one, that one, the other one, but I haven't done this one, that one, the other one. So I'm good on 6 out of 10, so maybe that's a 60%. Maybe I'll get in with a D-. The only way you're going to get in is through the blood. Mankind is a failure without Jesus Christ. Salvation is a futile thing, a futile attempt without Jesus Christ. I say all this to get to this. Verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So the foolish Galatians, they were trying to add works into their salvation and pretend like they could do something to keep it. The fleshly part of them was glorying in this, saying, look at me, look at me. But the true faith is putting your trust and confidence in the finished work of Jesus Christ, not our works. And that faith began with Father Abraham when he trusted the Word of God and stepped out of the Ur of the Chaldees and by faith and followed the Word of God and trusted the Word of God. And the Scripture foreseeing knew that people in the future would trust Jesus Christ, the Word of God, for their salvation. And the failure of man under the law points us to the most blessed thing we're going to talk about today, and that's the freedom in Christ. The freedom in Christ. But no man is justified by the law on the side of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Faith where? Faith in Jesus Christ. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So that freedom that comes in trusting Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, is not a freedom to sin. It's a freedom to understand your salvation and security in Christ. It's the freedom from the curse of the law. So when people say, well, I'm keeping the Ten Commandments, I'm doing the best I can. They are bound under the curse of the law. The only way out from underneath the curse of the law is by trusting the one that fulfilled the law. Remember, Jesus Christ said He came not to abolish, but to fulfill. Now, you and I couldn't fulfill it. If you and I could fulfill the law, why would God the Father have His Son die for your sins? If you and I could keep our salvation after Jesus Christ, and we could work good enough to please God, why would God, first of all, why would He do that to start with? And second of all, why would He put things in the Bible like everlasting life? Why would He talk about eternal life? Why would He say things like, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption? Why would He put things into the Word of God like Jesus Christ saying, my sheep know me, they hear my voice, and they shall never perish? I mean, God made it clear in the Word of God that we have freedom in Christ. And it's not the freedom to do whatever you want to do. It's the freedom to say, hey, I'm not bound by the law for eternal salvation anymore. I'm free in Christ. I can relax and rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And now I can make a decision to trust, not only trust Christ, but to try to glorify Him. I am free to live for Christ. I'm not bound by the law anymore. And that's not, again, that's not a license to sin, like you're never going to be punished or judged as far as your works go. But it's a license to realize that you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, and you're secure in Christ, and you're set apart for a purpose. And we have the ability to fulfill that purpose through the Word of God by submitting our will to His will. But the freedom that's in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What are you free from? You're free from the curse of the law. And for the first time, being led by the Spirit, you can fulfill your desire to please God by following His Word. We couldn't please God in the flesh. We need the Holy Spirit indwelling us and working in us, on us, and through us to please God. But once you get to that point where you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you're free from the curse of the law. And those people out there, unfortunately, that think they're going to maybe do enough, maybe be good enough, maybe not do enough bad things, they're still under the curse. Jesus Christ took that curse upon Him. Curses everyone hangeth on a tree. And He paid the sin debt for the world. And the Bible says God's long-suffering and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it talks about repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's salvation, is realizing we have no hope and no help without Christ. And that we're hell-bound and we deserve it because we've broken God's law. And the only way we can get to heaven and the only way we can please God is by calling on His Son and saying, "Lord, forgive me and save me." But that freedom in Christ, I feel bad for folks that go through the motions and go through their traditions and try to please the church and try to satisfy the traditions and rules of man and never experience the freedom that's in Christ Jesus. Isn't it good to be saved? I mean, no matter what happens, this world's a crazy place. And I expect it to get much crazier over the next 3 or 4 months. But we're still saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's freedom in Christ Jesus. And that freedom is being freed from the curse of sin, the curse of the law. Amen. Father, we love You and thank You for the freedom You've given us in Christ.